How? Bass fishing.
Don't know anything about it.
Me either, buddy. Not until today.
Not until today.
We brought in Kyle Stafford to help fix that a little bit. I still feel like I probably need a little bit more guidance on the bass
fishing. We'll have Kyle in again. He was terrific.
But Kyle is on the Polk County College
bass fishing team. Yep.
And he came in today and talked to us about bass fishing. I've been spoiled. I've lived by the saltwater my entire life.
You and me both.
I never broke away to go do that.
Other than when I was about 12 years old, we went up to the lake.
Bluegills and stuff.
Yeah, we weren't as hardcore into it as Kyle.
I remember catching turtles. Do you remember? Did you ever do that when you were a kid?
Yes.
Like on hot dogs?
And I saw my friends get
bacon?
Their fingers bit to hell by what? Those turtles. Oh, yeah. Yeah, trying to get the hook out.
Grabbing by the face.
No, but trying to get the hook out and not realizing how long the neck is and holding them from the back. It was usually the guy holding it in the back that got bit.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's never
We'll have
good.
To ask Kyle next time about turtles.
Dumb kids, right?
Yeah.
That used to always be a I forgot all about that until just now, man. Yeah. We used to go down to this pond right down the road from my house, and we would take bacon or hot dogs or whatever, bread. Bacon was good because it was
bacon was the best because it was greasy and it left a trail in the water as it went down to the bottom and sat in the mud.
Yeah, but it would be like some little retention pond. You wouldn't even think, lots of monster turtles. Out of there. Yeah. Man, I forgot all about that. Yeah. Anyways, we talked about bass today.
We did. A lot of bass. There was a lot of bass talk.
So, anyways, let's get right to it. Please welcome Kyle Stafford.
Awesome.
And kapow, just like that.
Right on.
The podcast.
Just like that.
What's up, Kyle Stafford?
Not much, man. How you guys doing?
What's up, Kyle?
Good, good. Brought you in today to talk about some bass fishing.
Yeah.
So you're still on the Polk County?
Polk State. Yeah, Polk
State.
I fished college past 2 years. First year I did UCF. This past year I did Polk State. So just a closer college back home. The university kind of got expensive, so I moved back home.
So you're rolling in the millions then.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe one day.
Right. Well, that's cool. That's you guys. How many tournaments do you guys do a year in that? You guys
we typically have about four.
Four?
Yeah, so FLW produces about three tournaments a year, and then Bass produces one. And then depending on how you do at those, you can qualify for another tournament.
How'd you guys do this year?
None of us qualified. I mean, we had some pretty good events, but we just... It's kind of it's really competitive. So like most tournaments, we have 200 people that come up, and only about 10 qualify.
Are those over like a week? How do those tournaments work? I just to be straight, I know nothing about bass fishing. That's why I wanted to
No problem. So the FLW tournaments are usually just 1 day tournaments. So we typically will get a house somewhere and split it between the 10 guys, and we'll stay up there for a week. Like we just got back from Lake Chickamauga in Tennessee.
Where? Hold on a second.
We're back. I'll edit
Lake
that
Chickahooka
out.
Waka.
Lake Chickamauga. I'm sure it's
where is that?
Indian or something. I don't know. It's in Dayton, Tennessee. It's part of the Tennessee River. So,
cool.
Lake Gunnersville. They're all TVA lakes.
Right.
So we went to Lake Chickamauga last month. I think there was almost 200 boats that showed up and only 10 qualified. That was a really tough tournament, though. They weren't drawing a lot of current. So
the weather and
it was really tough.
Played a lot in
It did. Yeah.
That sucks when that happens.
Yeah, it does.
Wait. What was I about to ask? I'm going to have to edit this too. As far as those tournaments go, all right, you qualify. So that brings you to the next day, or how does that work?
And BSS, like they're totally different. So at college, I'll break it down. Like the FLW, we have 3 1-day tournaments. That's it. You don't qualify for the next day. Top 10 qualifies for the national championship. So,
And
it doesn't matter if 20 boats showed up or if 200 boats showed up, only top 10 get to qualify. So it gets really competitive.
Right.
And then we have BSS, who is another host of tournaments, and they have 3-day tournaments. So the first 2 days, everybody gets to fish, and then the top 20% on the third day gets to fish. And plus the top 20% also qualifies for the national championship as well.
Okay.
So it's still competitive, but you have more of a chance in getting in there.
Right.
So
is that mostly in the Southeast? You guys?
Yeah, typically we're all in the Southeast, and the national championship could be anywhere. So last year I qualified for the national championship, and it was in Wisconsin. So it was a 26-hour drive from home.
What time of year do you end up in?
It was in July, so it wasn't too bad.
Right.
But granted, I say that, I packed shorts, T-shirts, and we got up there, and it was like 40 degrees one day.
Typical Floridian.
I froze my butt off.
Wonder how often that happens, probably constantly.
Yeah, probably. I didn't know any better, though.
Right? Was the fishing, what do you think, like, comparison down here? Did you, the fish bigger up there, or?
Not bigger, no. It was more of a smallmouth fishery, so it really didn't take a whole lot. But the body of water that we were on was really tough. I think they really wanted it to be a tough tournament.
Right.
And so it was actually only a 3-fish limit, and people struggled to get that. So it was a pretty long week.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And I've never got a chance to really – I grew up spoiled. You know, I lived on the beach and always did saltwater fishing. But I started looking through it this year. I'm like, man, I got to expand my horizons. Mm-hmm. I got to get out of here.
Definitely.
So where do you think in Florida – mm-hmm. around our area, what's a good place to start?
Well, I'm in Lakeland, so Central Florida. Obviously, we're in Tampa right now. My favorite places are, if you can do it, like Okeechobee. You can go down there and catch 100 fish in a day. Now, they're not going to be giant fish. Yeah, no problem. 100 fish in a day.
That's a stellar day no matter what.
It is. Yeah, no matter where you go.
Yeah.
It's really fun. Now, a lot of times, it's hard to catch a giant one down there, and that's why I'm a lot closer to the Kissimmee chain, like Toho, Lake Kissimmee. There's a lot of big fish in that area.
Right.
So you can go out and catch 10 to 20 fish a day, but you're catching a couple over 5 pounds.
Nice.
So it's really fun.
Yeah, that's a big bass.
Definitely,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's sick. What about like Lake Tarpon and stuff like that? Is
I haven't fished Lake Tarpon.
No.
I know there's a bunch of fish in there. I think they have like a Tuesday night tournament there every week. So
Yeah, I was going to say, they have something there constantly,
mm-hmm.
all times of
definitely,
the year.
Definitely, yeah. But I've never been up that way, so I don't really know, to be honest.
They go all out for those bass tournaments.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
I like watching.
It's
I'm
fun,
not a bass fisherman, but I watch some of that stuff, man. Fireworks coming off when they're coming up on this.
It's better than NASCAR.
Everything.
Yeah, no, it's awesome,
man.
Especially
I mean, the only thing
you're
missing
it.
Is like the college band. <You know?
laughs> I'm sure that'll come.
Right? That'd be great, man. Well, as far as getting into bass fishing now, I know that the equipment's going to be different.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a little bit different approach. I mean, can you compare it to any type of saltwater fish that would be similar to, like red fishing or where your tactics and your techniques would be?
Yeah, and I'd definitely say inshore fishing, but that's kind of really hard to say at the same time because I could say deep sea fishing is the same too.
Cause, really?
I mean, I go out on a couple charters where guys are going 100 miles offshore and, you know, they get on their units and they find this little ledge and they're like, all right, drop on that. Well, that's pretty much what we do in freshwater, too. You're in 20, 30 feet of water. You see a little limb or something down there. And you're
right.
Like, there's got to be some fish on there.
You want that change or structure.
Exactly. And so we vertical fish in freshwater, too, like people do offshore in saltwater. You know,
right.
We take our drop shot rig, stuff like that, drop it down, shake it a couple times, and they hit it.
Is that your that's your big rig for the deeper stuff?
Well, that's really finesse stuff. But, yeah, typically if I'm going offshore, I'm a finesse guy. I love light line. And that's not really what you see in Florida. You want 65-pound braid, you know, big weight, stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what people come to Florida for. But I've always taken a different approach just because I've noticed that consistency is better than winning. Obviously, if I can win, I'd like to go for the win,
right.
But I'd love to be consistent more than anything.
Right, and what is that, just because of the lighter gear, they see it less?
Yeah, or? I mean, you have 6 to 8 pound test line is what I typically use for finesse fishing compared to 65-pound braid.
Right.
I feel like they can see it. Granted, if they can, I don't know.
Right.
Who really knows?
It's, right?
I mean, a lot of fishing's in the
bass
head anyways,
aren't talking
right?
To anybody either.
Exactly. But going back to what you said, I mean, I would say bass fishing is like all kinds of saltwater fishing. So obviously inshore fishing, snook and redfish, you can see them tailing and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, obviously most times bass are up shallow and you can see them, cast to them, etc.
Do you ever use the same baits? Like, do you have any crossover baits?
I don't do a whole lot of saltwater fishing,
oh,
but I've
okay.
heard
yeah.
flukes work well in saltwater, stuff like that. A spook will work well
so
in saltwater.
You're dedicated to this bass fishing. You don't even break away and go to the saltwater.
I don't,
huh?
Man. Everyone tells me once you go salt, you never go back.
But
I have a hard time believing that. I mean, if I go saltwater fishing, I'm on the flats with a pinfish or a shrimp or something like that.
Right.
With a bobber most of the time.
Right.
If I'm going freshwater fishing, I'm artificial. I'm hardcore trying to get a bite.
Right.
So,
because I get a little jealous sometimes, you know. I go into some of the bass gear and I look at some of those look like tasty baits.
Yeah,
and then the boats are all sparkly and cool looking. Man, you guys got the good boats, man. I like those a lot, man.
Yeah,
they're flashy and everything.
It is pretty cool, but you know, a lot of people say it's not the looks that'll do it. Like, typically, you know, if you go to like a Walmart or something like that, you always grab the frog that looks really good, right?
Right.
If you turn it over and look at the bottom, they're all white or gray or black.
It's more to catch you than the fish.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's exactly it. You know, marketers know what they're doing nowadays.
Right.
But
you don't use any live bait at all?
No, I couldn't say the last time I used live bait in freshwater. Now, if I'm going to take some kids out or something like that, I don't want hooks flying around my head. I'll get some minnows or shiners or something like that.
I feel the same way in the saltwater. I'm a lure guy. I get on the boat with some people that, and you know, if they're all bait chucking that day, then I'll do it. But it just seems like to me you can search faster. If you have your search tool with you, you can find them faster. And then if you find them, then go ahead into the live bait or whatever you wanted to. But yeah, do you find
I mean, I've had days where I can get up next to a charter guy on a lake and start catching a moor on artificial, and he's catching on live bait. So that's when I feel really good about myself,
Right, yeah. Well, that happens to me a lot. You know, a lot of people will be like, oh, your soft plastics aren't going to do nothing today, buddy. I got shrimp and pinfish.
Oh.
All right, we'll see if we get over to those rocks, and they're hitting on my gulp, you know, more than anything, because I can put it out there more.
Yeah, definitely. Cover
not
water.
Pinned up and everything, you know. Mm-hmm. You get that a lot out there?
I really do. I mean, there's a lot of times where the fish are really concentrated on what they want, and if you put a bunch of shiners in front of them, they won't touch artificial. But there's those other days, too, where you can sit right next to a charter guy who's out there shiner fishing, and you can just sit there and whack him, and he's not catching anything. So, sure, it makes him mad, but I feel good about it.
What other species of fish are you catching out there in the freshwater? Are you just targeting bass?
Yeah, I mean, most of the time, just bass. I mean, and there's different types of bass, too, though. I mean, down here we have largemouth bass. You go up north, you have smallmouth and spots. And every now and then you'll catch a striper or something like that. But we don't count striper in bass tournaments, but they're in there most of the time. So if you ever caught a striper, that's a fun fighting fish.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's freshwater, too?
Yeah, that's freshwater, yeah. Wow. But, I mean, striper get in saltwater, and they have inshore fish. I don't know. They're everywhere, I guess.
Right.
But we have them in lakes as well.
You should have told me something. So,
what about those peacock bass that I hear?
We do have peacock down south. So pretty much anywhere south of Okeechobee is when you start getting into peacock fishing. I've never caught one. But I've seen some videos.
They look so cool.
They do.
That fight looks amazing.
Yeah. I've heard they're one of the most feisty bass out there. So I'd love to catch one.
A lot of people on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Pull out those hogs. You're like, oh, yeah, I want that for sure, you know?
It does look fun.
Right.
For sure. They even have, like, clown knife fish and stuff like that down south.
I'm sorry, what is that?
A clown knife fish?
What is that?
You guys have to go follow.
I'll have to Google that and put it up in the video.
It's pretty cool looking stuff.
Is it aggressive like a bass? I mean,
I honestly don't know. I just know that they swim in the same areas the peacock do and stuff like that.
We'll have to take a trip down south here soon.
You ever catch any of the alligator gar?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Okay. Typically anything shiny, like a spinnerbait, anything like that. And most time, what makes me mad the most time is they'll come up and grab your line for some reason. So if you're working a topwater bait, they'll just come get your line, and then he cuts you off.
There goes your $10 lure.
Yeah, whatever you're throwing is gone.
Oh, that sucks.
So, well, I mean, all the time. Like, I don't know if you guys know what a mudfish is, a bowfin. We have those in freshwater, too, and they are aggressive.
Really?
So, and they're a trash fish, so.
Right. It's kind of like our lizard fish.
Yeah, pretty much like that. Yeah.
Lizard. Oh, God. At least the catfish in the freshwater, you can eat those.
Yeah, at least that. Yeah.
That's all I can think
of.
That's
the only thing they have going for them.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty nasty fish, yeah.
All right, so I want to go bass fishing.
Mm-hmm.
What's a good start as far as gear goes, pole, line?
Definitely. So, you know, it's kind of funny. You turn
beginner.
TV.
Beginner.
Yeah, beginner, definitely. Yeah. So, and there's a big line drawn between the two. So if you turn your TV on and you're watching these professionals going out there doing their thing, they're using the most expensive stuff.
Oh, of course.
So if you go into Walmart, they don't even have what these pros are using typically most of the time. So, I mean, if you want to get started in freshwater fishing, I mean, I would recommend a bait caster reel just because of the accuracy. You can really get it down. It's really a feel for the angler themselves. But starting out, you know, I've always told people just get yourself a spinning rod, you know, and start out with live bait, heck, just to build your confidence up or something.
Yeah.
Like, but other than that, you know, just get yourself a 1/8 ounce weight with a trick worm or something like that. Just go bank fishing.
Regular J-hook.
Yeah, regular J-hook, offset shank, anything. You can't really go wrong. Don't use a circle hook.
Right.
But not with the worm.
Oh, no. Okay.
What is that?
The Bass Assassin.
Yeah, Bass Assassin works, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, those bait casters, I remember my wife bought me one a few years ago. I'm like, oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool, right?
Oh my goodness.
It looks easy.
Was that a disaster? And then, like, so I used it for a while. I started getting a little better with it. But then I was like, one day, I'm kind of curious. I got really curious about it. And I'm like, I'm going to see what makes this thing work.
What brakes do?
I just barely popped it open a little bit. And springs went shit out of that thing. And I was
heard that.
I guess that's over with.
Yep. Especially if you do it on the water, then it's gone.
And I was in my bait caster days.
Not using that one today.
Yeah, I got some backlashes that were. were
phenomenal. Like, and usually people, you know, that turns people away from the big casters too. But once you get past that, that's pretty much all you'll use.
I can just see it now. All the people that use them now are like, yeah, just man up, man. Be a man. Yeah. Just man up with it.
It's kind of funny.
Right. All right, so we got, that was something I was going to ask too. Do you prefer braid over mono, fluorocarbon? I see there's a lot of different.
Yeah, so a lot of people, you know, they kind of just go straight across. I know a lot of people just use straight braid because it's very durable, it's tough. For me, it's very situational. And so for me, braid floats, mono floats. So I'm not going to throw anything that pretty much dives. What I use for braid is anything in grass. If I'm swimming a swim jig shallow through grass, stuff. Exactly. Anything with vegetation, especially flipping. So if I'm flipping mats, I'm definitely using 65-pound braid, big weight. Stuff like that. But if I'm going in open water where there's a lot of just really clear open water, typically I'm throwing fluorocarbon. It's really strong. There's not much of a stretch at all. And then the only time I use mono is on my topwater baits. That's pretty much it.
I see.
Yeah. Now, when you're using the braid, are you putting a leader line of mono on there for stretch? Or?
On my finesse rods, I actually do braid to like a fluorocarbon leader, and I make the fluorocarbon leader 3 to 4 feet long.
Same as us then.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of same salt.
That's for my offshore, my finesse types, fishing stuff. But other than that, I'm not doing any leaders. I'm pretty much doing the braid straight to whatever the bait is.
Really?
Typically, yeah.
Oh, okay. Not a lot of teeth in the freshwater, then, I take it?
No, not really, no.
That's good.
Yeah, we don't get broken off a whole lot.
That's funny. You know, it's funny. My grandmother came down before she passed, and she was my grandparents are probably where I got my love for fishing from.
Mm-hmm.
In their 80s, still taking the John boat up to the Great Lakes and everything and going fishing. So she comes down to visit me, and I take her out to the Skyway. And first thing, I catch us some greenbacks, and she's like, ooh, can we eat them? I'm like, no,
this is bait, yeah.
Throws it out. She gets a mackerel on it. And I notice, as she's bringing it up, I'm like, girl, get the camera, you know. And I turn around just in time to stop her. She was going to lip it.
Ooh.
She was going to lip it like a bass.
Yep.
Like, so you gotta remember, here in the salt water, half of this stuff out
yes.
here will mess you up.
I'm guilty of that as well. The first few snapper and grouper I caught, I was like, I'll lip it. Oh, man,
no.
Those things have fangs. It's unreal.
Yeah, they'll mess you up pretty bad.
That and their gill plates.
Well, I imagine those alligator gar, though. Probably.
Yeah, well, I don't touch an alligator gar.
Well, you just cut them loose when they...
I pretty much just grab them behind the head, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they do have some sharp teeth, so yeah, don't go grabbing a gator gar.
Right. That was
they'll
one
mess
thing,
you up.
When people were telling me, you know, you'll never go... Once you go saltwater, you don't want to go back to freshwater. I don't know. I'm watching some of these guys that are catching those muskies and pikes and alligator gars. I'm like, I don't know, man. That looks pretty fun.
Yeah,
you
it
know,
does, too.
That looks pretty cool to me. That's... I don't know. I might want to try that. So, this time of year, I imagine you're kind of changing up your tactics a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
And what's good for going into like October and November?
So this is one of my favorite times of the year. So the summer months really get kind of difficult when it comes to bass fishing. All your fish, they're moving offshore looking for cooler water. But this time of the year, they're starting to come back in a little bit. They're starting to feed a whole lot because they're getting ready for the spawn. So during the winter months, they typically don't eat a lot on bed, so they eat a lot right before they go spawn. And so whenever the temperature drops in the water, they're looking for any type of vegetation that's going to stay warm. So I'm looking for any kind of mat, some thick vegetation. And even if it's dead, that produces more heat, actually, so people don't think about that.
Color to it, right?
Definitely.
Okay.
But any type of thick vegetation, that's my go-to right now. I'm looking for that. I don't even care to find any casting bite. Because those big fish are going to be under those, just trying to stay warm.
Right, right.
So that's my go-to right now.
What's your bait choices right now?
So 65-pound braid to like a 1.5-ounce weight with, I use a Gambler Why Not, any kind of little creature bait that's going to really be cylindrical and
I'm
slip through the
mats.
I'm
shaking my head yes, like I know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I just saw that. Yeah. So, I mean.
Good job, Jay.
You really can't go wrong, whether it be a Senko or some kind of crawl or a creature bait. Just put a big weight on it and just hit every mat that you can find.
Right.
And you're bound to pull up a big one.
So this time of year, you're looking a little more shallow than...
Yeah,
than
definitely shallow. Yep.
Is that even a thing here in Florida? Did you have deep water here?
You know, it's kind of funny. We have a few lakes, but no, definitely not. Usually, everybody down here fishes grass. They fish shallow.
You're probably shallow all year long then here, right?
Yeah, you really can
so
do,
you go
yeah.
up north and then you... Then
yeah,
you
then you have
out.
To fish
right.
deep. Yeah, because, I mean, you're on the bank, like... If you know what a bluff wall is, we were in a Chickamauga last month, and you're sitting on a bluff wall, and you're like, oh, surely this is shallow, and you cast your bait out there, and it just never stops falling.
Right.
You look down at units like 40 feet deep. Like, what? I'm touching land right now.
Yeah,
it's 40 feet deep. It's beautiful up there.
Right, I imagine, man. Mm-hmm. This time of year, everything's changing. It's probably great.
Oh,
get
yeah.
the fish all the way up into, what, November before it really starts
getting oh, yeah. yep.
bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd want to be going 50 miles an hour in a boat.
Oh, it's freezing. Yeah.
30 degrees out. Mm. That separates the men from the boys, I guess.
Yeah, it really does.
You got it good here.
I must be getting younger then.
Oh, boy.
You said the men from the boys. I'll take the boys. I'll take the boys if I'm going to wimp out on the cold.
There you go.
So, you know, on the college scene, I'm sure you're going to be hopefully leaving college soon. I imagine you're kind of getting closer, right? I mean, the way forward for you guys, I imagine, because bass is so huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where do you go from here? Do you start hitting all these smaller things and just work your way through? Or does being in the college scene already kind of propel you ahead of everybody else? Like, you get to the invitational stuff a little faster?
It does seem like it propels you. I mean, you're visiting these lakes that all over the Southeast typically, and even more than that. But a lot of the local stuff, you know, doesn't leave the state. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think it'd be a whole lot different, but once you leave Florida, your horizons just broaden so much. I mean, different baits, different structures, like we talked about the bluff walls, stuff like that's crazy, and I've never seen it before. And so once you kind of see all this stuff, you know how to attack it, you know what baits to use, how to go about it, you're pretty much going to replicate that all over the country. So once you – this college fishing is really propelled, like we just talked about. And so I think most of the guys, once they fish these college tournaments, they leave from there, and then they're fishing these opens and big tournaments all over the country, and they're really ready for it.
The reason I ask is I saw a program, I think it was the FWC is offering money to form fishing teams in schools, like the grants.
Yeah, they are.
And I was just, you know, it might do people good to look into that. Do most of the colleges have teams, or is it kind of sparse, or is it
they really don't? There's not a whole lot, and they're really easy to get started,
right?
But FWC has helped out high school teams, and so high school is getting really big now.
That's what I'm saying. If you can take advantage of that and get more kids into it, and then especially if there are people like you that want to be in the industry and stuff, that's got to be a huge stepping stone. It's almost like being a high school wrestler to a college wrestler, you know what I mean, to get onto the national scene and all that. Like, if we built more of that, I think the industry would do well. You know, you get more kids into it off their iPhones.
And that's what we need for real.
Yeah, stop chasing Pokemons and go out to some bass or something.
And that's funny that you said wrestling. My first 3 years of high school, I wrestled. That's what I did. I loved to do it, but I've always loved to fish a whole lot more. And my high school didn't have a fishing team. So my senior year, I actually got into that, and I facilitated that movement. And so my high school that I went to now has a fishing team.
That's awesome.
So,
and that's
great.
When I saw that, I saw it a few months ago. It was right at the end when they're cutting it off of the year, and they're going to do it again next year from what I hear. I was like, man, that is an amazing program. I think more people need to look into that and spread the word about that. I think
definitely.
Because it almost seemed like they were like, hey, we got a bunch of money sitting here and nobody's coming to get it. Let's come on, guys. They were practically begging for people to look for that money. So
And it's really cool looking back now. I've been out of high school a few years now. When my senior year, we went to the state championship. I got second place, but it was only out of like 30 boats. And so that's not really a whole lot. We thought it was a lot then. But if you're looking at it now, the statistics, there's so many more high schools getting on board now. And there's hundreds of kids coming out. And it's really awesome to see.
I mean, with all this water here in Florida, especially. I mean, there's so much access.
Yeah.
And they're just handing out the money to form a team. I forget how much it was up to. I think it might have been up to $1,000 or something like that.
And that really helped
to
get going.
And get gear and all that. I mean, granted, it's not going to do everything, but that's a damn good start. You know, really good start.
And, you know, there's so many people with boats around here. Like, typically, I ask for volunteers to come out and help captain these kids on their tournaments and stuff like that, and they come from the woodworks.
One good thing about the fishing community. There are a lot of good guys out there that are ready to step up and help everybody. That and with the veterans and all that kind of stuff, I mean, that's one good thing about this community. And you know, the other thing, I just kind of poked my head into the fishing community not too long ago and just found some of the most interesting, cool people, man. It's such a welcoming community. It's really good. I'd like to see more kids get in and all that. That's why I was
asking
about
it. And like you said, like the older generation didn't have that when they were in school.
Yeah.
So if there's any way for them to give back or to any way participate in that, they love to come out and help that stuff.
Plus, who doesn't want to be on the water?
Exactly.
I mean, it's just another, honey, I got to. It's for the kids.
It's
for the kids. Think of the children, babe.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's one thing you got to watch out for. When you get married there, your time starts to...
So I've heard, yep.
Yeah, you got to establish your dominance on the fishing to begin with. Oh, look how good I am, you know? I can't stop now.
Yep, you better have the boat before you get married, right?
Yeah,
that's what everybody tells me.
My wife's cool about it. I'm sorry, honey. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean any of it. Well, Kyle, man, thanks for coming in today. We're going to do a separate video with Kyle with some gear. and talk about some of the different poles and stuff that he uses, and we're going to have that for our product stuff. And thanks for coming in today, man.
Definitely.
Appreciate
I really
time,
appreciate
man.
It, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
it was
before
wonderful
go, to have
before
you.
Before we go, how can people follow you and your tournament stuff?
Definitely. So Instagram, Facebook, look up Kyle Stafford Fishing. That's pretty much what I'm changing my name to on everything, just so it's easier to access.
So Kyle Stafford Fishing on Instagram and Facebook.
Yep, and then Fishbrain too, K Stafford Fish. Yep.
Okay,
check
great.
It out.
All right, thanks a lot for coming in, bud. All right, we'd like to thank Kyle Stafford for coming in and talking about bass today. You can follow Kyle at...
He is at Kyle Stafford Fishing on Facebook and Kyle Stafford Fishing on Instagram as well.
You can also see Kyle in a video we did right after the podcast. He has some custom rods that he was talking about and explained everything.
We're going to be doing some really cool product reviews here soon.
A bunch of unboxings and reviews and everything. A bunch of goodies. You'll like it.
Yeah, I'm already digging it.
We're going to have a bunch of shows coming up on the network and hopefully some new shows in the future. You can also check out a site that Hans and I do. It's called Inshore Artist.
It's a lot of great art from local artists along with fishing and one of those lifestyles that you wish you had.
Outdoors of Florida, all the cool stuff that there is to do here. So check that out at inshoreartist.com. And we also got a little bit of local tournament information here. We got a couple of tournaments coming up.
Yeah. This weekend coming up at John's Pass on the by the Bell Tower is the Wild West, and that is the Battle in the Pass.
Battle in the Pass.
Angler Armory. Yep, James and Jenny Maltz from Angler Armory. And
what's up, James?
I'm really looking forward to this one because it coincides with the John's Pass Seafood Festival from Thursday to Sunday.
Delicious.
Which last year had 100,000 people. That was absolutely a wonderful event to be at.
And that is at the Madeira Beach side of John's Pass for that
Madeira one. Beach side of John's Pass by the Bell Tower is where they're going to be having the weigh-in on Saturday for the Wild West.
And then also on Madeira Beach...
We have the King of the Beach
King of the
coming
Beach,
up,
which
yes.
is probably one of the biggest ones we have in this area every year.
Probably the biggest.
Yeah, biggest
yeah. And the dates
tournament.
On that, let me see real quick so I can get
the
that for you.
The biggest kingfish tournament in the United States.
Nice.
The King of the Beach is going to be November 3rd through the 5th at Madeira Beach.
Right, and we'd like to wish Team Sea Mule good luck in that one.
Team Sea Mule.
Yeah, tight lines, guys.
Awesome.
So we got a lot of good stuff coming up. Make sure you check out all the videos coming up on Fish Pod Network. You go to fishpodnetwork.com. You can also follow us on Fish Pod Network at Instagram.
And we have a Gmail.
And Instagram too? Yeah.
Instagram
Facebook. It's all the same. And at fishpodnetwork@gmail.com.
Awesome.
Check us out.
Enjoy.
See you in the next one.